Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast, The Load Teasers, for Monday, the 25th of August, 2025. I'm joined by Josh and Bo, and today we're going to be talking about the flags and how the battle lines have been fully drawn at this point, Trump's retribution arc, and how Japan has decided, you know what, we do need hundreds of thousands of Indians and Africans, because that's something that's not been tested yet, and it's for the GDP. But you might be wondering, why are we back on YouTube? Like, this is a strange thing. It's been a while, hasn't it? Why are we streaming to YouTube? And so for anyone who's not one of the sort of OGs, you know, the originals from back in the day, we actually used to stream on YouTube all the time. And then YouTube, back in like 2020, got really, really, really political. The first thing that really struck us was the Joe Biden election. You weren't allowed to question that, and YouTube had rules about that, and we got strikes for that. And then, of course, there was the COVID pandemic, which also they had a narrative to protect. And so we decided, you know, we want to discuss these issues, but it's just safer to do it off of YouTube than on. And now those issues are pretty much over. They're gone. And YouTube, not only the issues gone, but YouTube has released the reins on them as well. A lot. So we're actually at a point where, well, why can't we just stream to YouTube again if YouTube aren't going to strike us for wrongthink, which hopefully they're not going to.
It was very arbitrary as well, in that when a lot of their sort of punishments towards us were enacted, we hadn't actually done anything.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't actually have a specific video in mind that they took exception to.
Yeah, well, there were certain ones, but, like, it was more just... It was an opinion and policy, an opinion on the facts that we were getting struck for. That's what it was for. It wasn't like we had actually, like, done something horrible or something like that. But they incorporated this into the term of service and blah, blah, blah. But hopefully this is not something that's going to cause us problems now. So let's begin, because we've got a lot to go through, because a lot's been happening. But before we begin, go and get your copy of Islander 4. It's link in the description now. I don't know how long it's going to be available for, but it is excellent, and we put a lot of work into it. I think you'll enjoy it. So let's begin. So there have been protests and flagging campaigns continuing across Britain for the past, well, week and a half or so now. Everyone expected this to be a bit of a flash in the pan, for it to kind of die down. The asylum hotel protests have been going on for several weeks now, and that's joined by the flagging protest that is also going on. The BBC point out this is happening all over the place, really. Bristol, Liverpool, London, Mold, which is a place in Wales, Perth in Scotland, County Antrim in Northern Ireland. So basically, everyone is absolutely sick to death of having unvetted fighting-age men being allowed to roam free in their communities. And there has been a sexual assault charge from one of these hotel migrants almost every single day for the past, how long has it been now? About 2 weeks, something like that?
I was actually trying to keep track of them all, and it's pretty much been since the end of July, through all of August. Yeah, I was able to find a case from about the 31st of July all the way till about August the 10th, unbroken.
Yeah. So people are not happy about it, and they're still out protesting, which is superb, obviously. And then you've got the question of the flags. So this is something that started happening about a week ago now, where people just decided they were going to put the England flag and the Union flag up on things that can hold flags, as in, you know, lampposts, whatever, you know, wherever around the country. And this has carried on as well, because it's actually a really good symbol of resistance to globalism. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something there.
No, I was just completely agreeing with you.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
No, like a bit of nationalism, patriotism.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we're not ashamed or afraid.
Yes.
You know, we have a country that exists.
And this is the country.
It's
we're in it.
Wonderful optics that our enemies... reel back like a vampire exposed to light to the English flag.
Yes, they do. And yeah, like the BBC, they've got a reasonably neutral write-up of this. They point out that, you know, the author of this is driving through the southwest of Birmingham, and for more than a mile, almost every light post, light lamp,
Lamppost,
yeah. Has a St. George's flag or a Union Jack attached, thousands of them. They then go on to blither about the far right, but they can't really pin it on the far right. They're just certain that there's some connection between the far right and the England flag. And it's like, listen, man, you know, there's a connection between the English and the England flag. And, you know, if you want to turn that into the far right, then you're going to find the country is mostly far right. So what are you going to do?
Their narrative has moved so far, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So like, at first you can't be a Nazi.
No.
And then very, very quickly, it's...
Can't wave the England flag.
Any expression of the nation in any way is beyond the pale to them. Well, that's absurd and cannot stand.
Yeah, but I mean, we have an explanation from a sociologist that they have consulted called Ellis Cashmore. Try to contain your laughter here, Josh. Who believes that those displaying the flags probably have different reasons for doing so, but generally feel a sense of being left behind or overlooked. That's true.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But why? In what way? The warnings of tax rises and economic pain potentially to come this autumn are contributing to a sense of disillusionment.
Well, that's not quite right.
No.
It started strong.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I wasn't laughing at the fact they were a sociologist. I was laughing
I would laugh at that.
I was laughing at the fact that it's like, why are people doing this despite everyone being very vocal about why they're doing it?
Yeah.
You need to go to a sociologist to explain it to you.
And even then they get it wrong. It's like,
yeah.
You know the meme of the communist, like, patting the guy on the shoulder. It's like, maybe you'd feel better if you owned the means of production with a bunch of Muslims in burqas walking by and the country in general state of dilapidation. I mean, it's literally that meme they've just done there. But anyway, the point being, the councils didn't like this and they began taking the flags down. But they tell us that basically... Birmingham City Council has given up on this. They did start taking down the St. George's flags. Initially, they said that it was a health and safety risk, but they only took down 200 and they've just given up because the flags are all across Birmingham now. So basically, it turns out they didn't have the resources to defeat the 42% English population of Birmingham. Good.
Health and safety, what? It constitutes a fire risk.
Well, yeah.
A choking hazard for under fives.
No.
How is it?
They were arguing that the flags, putting them up may have damaged the structural integrity of the thing or something like that. obvious nonsense, right? But the point is, everyone knows why they were taking them down.
Lamp post lives matter.
Yeah. But this has been great because it's been basically everywhere. And you get, you know, people like Malcolm here. All the mini roundabouts in my town now have fake St. George's flags painted on them. Does residents ask for this? No, it's vandalism, pure and simple. Okay, a couple of points here, Malcolm. One, it's the residents doing it, right? No one's going to your little village. You know, there's no central office of people making flags, putting up flags. But two, did the local residents ask for their villages to be filled with foreigners? Did anyone ask for the Boris wave? Were we ever consulted about immigration? And when we have been consulted, were we ever like, yeah, bring them all in, boys? No.
It's also not quite the same as vandalism. It's sort of like, oh no, someone's done my gardening and pulled all my weeds. No, it's like, oh, what terrible vandalism that there's now a sign of patriotism. Like, people see the flag and they associate it with good things, even if they're not political.
Oh, generally, yeah.
I mean, very, very telling, though, isn't it, that somebody like this has got an issue with it?
Well, I mean, look at his bio.
What's it say?
Braintree District and Halstead Town Councillor, Secretary Halstead and Headington BLP, Primary School Chair of Governors, Fabian, Co-op Party, Greenpeace. Right, there we go.
Right, got it.
But notice how, you know, like, old white boomer, Fabian, literal wolf in sheep's clothing, is like, well, I didn't ask for this. This is vandalism. What about... You don't care about any of the other things, though. Any of the other things.
Even someone drawing two red lines across something white. Even that can't stand. Well, even that can't be allowed.
It's what it means. It's
yeah,
what
of course.
It stands
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
He knows. He says he's a Fabian. A Lib Dem councillor was interviewed here. A Lib Dem councillor called Nick Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
You can guess where he comes from. Well, his family, anyway. It would be naive to pretend otherwise that the St. George's flag has been co-opted by certain far-right groups to promote their agendas. We will not be encouraging division in our communities. Thank you, Liberal Democrat. He added that the council celebrated all forms of diversity, unless it's English diversity. But there was an underlying tension in the campaign that has been hijacked by people with views who are, for me, completely unacceptable. It's like, thanks for your input, Nick. The flagging will continue until morale improves.
Yeah.
That's literally what this is.
Pipe down now, Nick. Yeah, you've had your time.
Yeah.
We tried it your way.
But I love the St. George's cross is intimidating. Good.
Also, multiculturalism is division by definition, so
100%.
It doesn't make sense to say that.
It couldn't be anything other than division, could it? That's the very point of it.
People like this councillor, Nick Ireland, they're sort of, this is the last remnant of their arguments.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
They're on the ropes.
And that's
hopefully,
one,
at least.
No, that's 100% what it is. Because they don't have a coherent response to this. That's their problem. They're like, oh, I know that's not good. I know that the English shouldn't be proud of being English in England because that seems a bit intimidating. And you got this chap here who's like, oh, this is very territorial. In fact, we'll watch this because he is right. This is about territorialism.
I feel this moment in time, this feels very territorial and it feels like people are marking their territory. I don't think there's anything... I think, look, the flag's patriotic. I like the flag. I'm happy to see the flag. But it's all about where and how. When there's an England team playing in a semi-final or a final of a World Cup and everyone's kind of feels together. But at the moment, this feels like we're here. This is our plot. And we're going to remind you this is our plot. And that's how it feels at the moment. And
But the territory literally is England, though, Jason, isn't it?
Of course. Well, that's the problem. And this is why I think we're now leading up to this, because I think that this country's lost its identity. And I think that's a big problem, a real problem. And I'm very, very, very nervous because I feel that there's going to be a lot of problems on the streets of London soon.
What a fascinating conversation that was. Even the LBC host is like, well, I mean, it is England, isn't it? Like, if anyone's going to have a territorial claim to England, probably the English, and that is their flag.
What a crazy thing. I feel like this country's lost its identity, and a bad thing to do then is to support the flag in some way. Like, what? How does that make any sense?
Yes. Well, the fact that we feel that we have a claim to this, he said, is the problem.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, he literally says it. So, and that's
true colours.
Exactly. It's like, okay, well, what we can do, Nick, to make you feel less nervous, are mass deportations, which isn't what Nigel Farage has actually proposed now, and he's actually come up with a plan to do it. Because the problem is genuinely sheerly numbers. Really, there are obviously problems with like individual groups of immigrants, but that's kind of ancillary to the problem of just bringing a million in a year. Yes, they start taking up space. Yes, that starts pushing people out of communities where their ancestors have been for hundreds of years and makes them feel like they're losing their country. And so this is clearly a response to that. And so the correct thing to do would be to say, right, what are we going to do here? Does the country belong to the English? And if the answer is yes, as this LBC host kind of has to concede, then really the people who are coming from other countries should just go back there. Pretty straightforward. I mean, I don't think that's very controversial. I'm not saying deport every non-white person in Britain or anything like that. It's just in the last 5 years, we've had this massive wave of foreigners inflicted upon us for some reason.
The Boris wave.
Boris wave, which is still continuing. Mm. And we didn't ask for this. This wasn't something that was advertised to us that they were going to do as a complete stab in the back. And they need to go home.
And isn't it funny that, like the most gentle, low-key way of resistance, just to put up a flu flag and draw a couple of red lines on something white.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more peaceful, really.
No, it really
and
couldn't.
Even that, they immediately got all sorts of issues with it.
Notice the fear. They're like, oh, right, this is a warning, right? This is not the end of the line. This is the beginning of the revolution. And so they're like, oh, wow, maybe we should pay attention to this. I agree. Maybe you should pay attention to this. And there is actually a very reasonable solution to this that actually would go in line with the democratic mandate that everyone had voted for since before Brexit. But anyway, notice how he brought up the football, though. He's like, well, it's okay when it's the football or the rugby or whatever. But this cartoon, I think, really embodies the issue that they have, is that prior to now, English patriotism had been siloed. It'd been, nope, you can go wave the flag for the women's football team or the women's rugby team or whatever it is. And now, no, it's gone way beyond that. No, as you can see, this has breached containment and this is out of their control.
Sort of the day after England get knocked out, it's like, you've got to take your flag down, otherwise you're a weirdo. Yeah.
Nah. It's good you brought this up, because I've noticed this as well, that beforehand our patriotism was limited to basically sports, where it's the most ineffective possible for affecting politics. And now it's bleeding over into lots of other areas as well. And what has basically happened is that the Black Lives Matter movement has opened Pandora's box of identity, and the English have realised, wait a minute, we need an identity for ourselves. And that's not going to be closed again now. There's no way that people are going to go back now they've got to this point, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was going to fizzle out in the first day or so. But actually, it's snowballed into something that... It's been all over the country. I mean, I've seen it driving around my local area.
Like, I put up a flag myself.
Really?
Yeah.
The zebra crossing, literally just around the corner that I cross every day to go to the park with my kids, someone flagged that. And, you know, driving along under the overpasses, I saw, you know, England flags. I'm like, right, okay, this is genuinely everywhere, which is great. You know, it's great to see there is a kind of national consciousness arising, because actually this is our country and we have been taken advantage of, and we are the ones who are not allowed to engage in these demonstrations of pride.
And it's all organic as well.
Completely.
I've seen videos of the people doing it, and they just look like your normal people who you would see on the street. They don't necessarily look like your typical political actors.
Yeah. In fact, we'll get some of those in a minute, if that's all right. So anyway, so obviously the battle lines are being drawn. So the Independent is like, well, can the England flag ever be reclaimed? Not really, says, quote, Kehinde Andrews, Black Studies professor. Nobody who has a proper understanding of what it's used for would pretend it's other anything other than a clear symbol of racism. Ah, well, there we go. Thank
says you, the guy Kehinde, yeah. Who wrote a book called White Psychosis.
The Psychosis of Whiteness.
Sorry.
Actually. But the Independent concludes by interviewing various left-wing academics, in this instance, that flying the flag appears to point to a radicalized notion of what England is. It's about distinguishing Englishness, quote, an imagined ethnically white identity of Englishness, which doesn't include multiculturalism. That's right. It's England against multiculturalism. You can come and join the English, or you can join the UK. That's your option. That's what this is about. That's what this fracture point is. That's 100% what it is. Does the land of England belong to anyone in the world, or does it belong to the English?
Yeah, no, there is an in-group.
Yes.
And therefore an out-group.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's not to say that we can't have lots of foreign friends who want to come over and fly a flag as well. It's not to say anything like that. But what it's to say is there is a native people in the land, and they need to be respected.
The tribe exists.
Yes.
Stop trying to pretend it doesn't exist or has never existed.
Are you sure? The Guardian's not happy about this. Flags is a symbol of prejudice, not pride, and a distinct air of menace. Welcome to England 2025. That's right, John. That's right. This is England in 2025. You'd nailed it. Watch what you're doing, bro. Right? That's all we're saying. This is our country. We're not having this, Jonathan. Again,
air of menace.
But look, at the most white English people in the world are here to stab us in the back. That's the thing. Mm. You know, it's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to give away the country. So I'm sure you are, John. Mm. But again, this whole thing, he literally goes through this article talking with increasing menace about how basically this is Nazism. But he really embodies the lack of coherent response that they have to this.
And testosterone.
Yeah, well, I mean, he writes in The Guardian, of course he embodies a lack of testosterone. But he says, look, the result of this is a, quote, self-evident political emergency. He's right. He is right. This is a conceptual ideological emergency.
For them.
Exactly, for them. Yeah, not for us. This is brilliant for us. Right? He literally ends with, quote, what are we going to do now? Nothing. You have been checkmated. You're like, no, everyone gets to fly their flag and play the game of identity politics, apart from you racists. And the white English is like, well, we've got a flag, actually. We are going to do it. And they're like, well, I mean, look at the subheading there. The rapid spread of these banners is unsettling, and it shows how the hard right is reaching people in places the left cannot. No, you can't enter into working class English communities and normal, just middle class English communities who are patriotic and love their country, because your entire philosophy is predicated on destroying the country. So you just can't come here. This is not yours.
I think also implicit in this is that a lot of the commentary from less sort of connected left wingers seems to indicate that they just don't understand that normal people can just adopt the flag and appreciate it, mm-hmm. because their circle of friends, their family, are all exactly like them. They have no one with conflicting opinions because they get excised out of the community, right?
Yeah.
And so they can't understand it. They think it's all political action when it probably isn't.
It's just reality coming knocking at their door. Okay, you can redefine the vast majority of completely normal people as hard right if you want to.
And he will.
You just, and yeah, started doing that back in the 60s, yeah. And at some point in 2014 or 16, you lost your mind entirely and bought into the lie that nearly everyone thinks like you,
yeah.
And everyone else is hard right or far right. But that was never the case. That was always a lie. That was always a fiction. And now reality is catching up with you. So
what you define as hard right is just normality to most people.
Right.
That's literally all this is. Anyway, so the councils, of course, everywhere are taking down the flags. Here's a Liverpool example. I won't bother playing it. You can go look at it in your own time. Because Liverpool Council have just declared for the enemy. Right? They've declared for the opposition. And I really mean it. For 300 years, Liverpool has been shaped by people from all over the world.
Mainly
that's what's... people of colour from all over the world, they said, Josh. That's what makes our city special. We remain committed to sharing the facts and treating people with dignity and respect. Right, so you are committed to foreigners. That's Liverpool City Council saying, nope, we are committed to the foreigners. You fly the England flag in Liverpool, you are hateful, and hate has no place in Liverpool. Our city is built on solidarity and respect.
What was happening last year, though, was it?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. But the point is, they have openly declared for the foreigners. It's like, okay, that's fine. You know, you're going to find yourself, frankly, completely outnumbered and surrounded on all sides. But
it's interesting because Liverpool is sort of fairly famously quite a red city.
Yes.
But nonetheless, also explicitly English, right? It's not. Okay. I wonder how well that will go. But you know what I mean? It's not entirely captured or anything.
No, of course not. But you are right. It's a very left-wing city. But remember the Southport riots? It was Liverpool that was rioting long into the night after other cities had stopped rioting. They do have a very strong sense of self in Liverpool, sort of, you know, local community.
And it is English.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, Liverpool City Council were, like I said, declaring themselves. Obviously, Bristol were declaring themselves. The Bristol commies were out in force. Of course, they are annoyed at people putting up flags and protesting illegals being put up in hotels. But not just them. Brighton Council decided they were going to take down the St. George's flags too. These are the places that you exactly expect, right? You know, lefty council in Liverpool, lefty council in Bristol, lefty council in Brighton. Yes, we know the left are in favour of the foreigners. We know you are. We know. It's good that you're declaring yourselves, though, by literally taking down our flags. The next one was a teacher here in Tamworth. So basically, middle-class Lib Dem voter. Again, I won't play it. You can see it from the description. Middle-class Lib Dem voters are going to tear down the flags because, of course, they will. Again, we knew that they were against us. We knew they were for the foreigners. We knew they were on the other side of this. And then you've got like brainwashed tossers like this guy. I will play this one because it's genuinely funny. Because this guy, he literally sounds like an NPC. He sounds like he's been programmed by the television. Like, it's really remarkable how, like, I mean, this honestly sounds like it's scripted. And I'm assuming that it's not scripted because the guy on the right sounds very normal. Mm-hmm. But the guy on the left, you'll hear him.
What we want to be showing around to everyone.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, but you're worried about the English flag in the English country garden.
Well, yeah, it's offensive.
Our flag can be offensive in England.
Yeah, there's plenty of people in this neighbourhood who would take offence to that just being up right now.
Are you being having a laugh or something? Where do you live? Yes, where mate. Do you live?
I'm from England, man. But I'm
there.
Just,
you go. There's I'm your just, flag.
No, I'm seriously. We can,
be
that's
proud.
Offensive. It's not the 1950s anymore, mate. We can't be having the England flag.
Yeah, and I'm not Alf Garnet either, but that's my flag. And this is my country, and this is my garden. I'll put up what I like.
Oh, that, like, that guy's the guy on the left's response, just his statements, feels fake to me, right? But I'm pretty sure the guy on the right isn't, and I'm pretty sure it's a real interaction. It's just really funny that basically you've got the teachers, the councils, the leftist brainwashed tossers, the sort of agents of the Matrix, and the Islamo leftists.
I was definitely getting Destiny vibes off that dude.
Right.
He's not used to confrontation, I think, is why he sounded like he did.
Yeah.
Or bicep curls.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just love the old chap on the right who's just like, who I like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, you've got the Islamo-leftists, of course, the National in Scotland have decided that refugees are welcome in Scotland, which is great. We should send them all to Scotland, really. Why is there a single refugee in England when the Scots apparently want to take them all?
It's funny how they're so welcome in Scotland, yet none of them want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm joking. The Scots obviously...
Got no hatred against Scotland. Half my family are from there, just to be clear.
It, but the Scots obviously don't want this. Again, just the elite of the country. Trying to sell everyone out, which is what you'd expect. And then, of course, you've got the Palestine marchers. No one's complaining about these flags. As Chris points out here in Birmingham on Saturday, they were chanting death to the IDF, Sea of Palestine flags, calling for death, blah, blah, blah. But apparently it was the St. George's flags that were intimidating. I dare say these chaps are a little bit more intimidating. But what do I know?
Where's Councillor Nick Ireland on that?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, this isn't a Liberal Democrat issue, you've got to understand, because these are a community that don't vote Lib Dem, so they've got nothing to say about it. But yeah, so, and then on the other side, on the good guy side, you've got just, you know, normal people. Mute that, but just normal folk flying their flags, protesting and
it's
demonstrating.
Scary far right, Carl. It's the hard right.
I was going to say,
well, yeah. Unironically, that is what they call the far right. Yeah, it's a bunch of just normal ladies. The pink ladies, they call themselves, just flying the flag and having some fun protesting. You've also... Oh, I can't even show that, apparently. Right, okay, well, I won't show it for the sake of your innocent eyes. But basically, a couple of chaps in Stevenage were putting up flags, and it is alleged that a gang of Muslims ran over and threw a petrol bomb at.
Yeah, I saw that guy with a bloodied face.
Yeah, he had a massive... The thing actually hit him and bounced off of him and then smashed on the floor. So he didn't get set on fire, but it did have a huge cut pouring with blood on his face, which was obviously what that shows. And there's a BBC coverage of it. Man injured by glass bottle containing lit rag. Really? Is that what happened?
You mean attempted to set him alight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Attempted to burn him alive?
I don't know why the glass bottles containing lit rags are doing this.
The crime of putting a St. George's flag up.
Yes, but it's the same energy as, you know, car hits pedestrians.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's like, why did the car do this? Yeah. Why did the glass bottle launch itself unaided?
Got an epidemic of poltergeists in this country.
That's exactly the problem, isn't it? This is the entire thing of the BBC, though, right? So, he was taken to hospital. Hertfordshire police are looking into it. I know this incident will concern people living locally. I'd like to reassure the community this was a contained incident. Were you behind it, Chief Inspector Sarah Gilbertson? Did you throw it? Was it one of your lads? Was it someone employed by the police? How do you know this was a contained incident? How have you got that information? Especially when, says, our investigation continues and anyone with information is asked to get in touch with police, implying that they don't even have the guy who threw the bloody petrol bomb. How can you know this?
This is the thing, this is the truly worrying thing that people like us have been warning against for a long time now, that it will end in tears, it'll end in blood.
Well, first blood's already been drawn.
It's a sectarian, racial, ethnic and sectarian tribal conflict will break out. And our enemies say, no, it won't. You're being paranoid. That's just what you want to happen. It's like, no, absolutely
I don't want
not.
That to happen.
No, absolutely not. And it's not paranoid. It's obviously the way this goes.
It's what appears it's to be actually happening. The lads are still out there, though, putting up more flags. As they say, quote, petrol bombs will not stop us. Numbers have gone up massively. Good for you guys. There is also the question of vandalism. Now, I don't agree with the vandalism, and I think the vandalism is bad optics. What it does is changes the nature of the discussion. So when you put up flags, it doesn't hurt anyone, it doesn't damage anything, and it is a perfectly legitimate statement of patriotism. When you vandalize something, as trivial as this is, and it's pretty trivial, it still changes the direction of the conversation. Now it's about you having done something wrong, so they can avoid having to talk about the actual points that we want to discuss. And so actually, it's kind of stepping on a rake, frankly.
Absolutely. My sensibility, I was brought up that just sort of mindless vandalism is really gross.
Yeah.
Really, really wrong thing to do. Where I see that last picture you had up,
yeah,
I did think, ugh.
Yeah, the person that did that's a moron.
Yeah.
And then, it's like information about nature in a park.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got this one.
Yes! So are we doing it?
Are we doing it, mate? Are we doing it around here, Ralph?
Get up there!
What are we doing? Hey,
painting the Tamarind. Go on, the boys.
Next one.
Get up. Where it goes up. Send it. The boys are going mad.
Want
to
get up here, get
amongst
it, or what?
Hey? He's a liar!
I'm 80 yo, come here!
Gaze has come out the Indian, who wants one above the shop?
Chuckle Brothers. So.
You guys are crazy, man. How long have you been doing this for?
Half hour.
Bone and bread, fucking.
Gazers.
I'm an English man, I'll do it till I die, sweetheart!
Get up! On to the next one, let's go! Spread them all the way across!
No, can't. It's for the country, yeah?
Yeah, for your future.
Sweetheart.
Right, that's the bit. So afterwards, I'm not going to play it. They racially insult some Muslims who they see walking past as well, right? And so a couple of things here. This is vandalism. And obviously, they've been arrested. So again, if you want to see the two-tier nature of things, this guy, the whoever threw the petrol bomb, not been arrested. Don't know who that was. These prats, they've been arrested instantly, right? So, and of course, they
did video themselves. They made it quite easy, didn't they?
That's true, but the other guy had a video as well.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that yet.
Well, it was, you know,
okay.
Censored. But yeah, so, the point being, if you're racist and they have arrested a man on suspicion of using racist language and committing criminal damage, they're going to get you really, really quickly. Because, I mean, criminal damage, if it was just arbitrary criminal damage that was done to, like, your bike or something, well, that guy's never getting caught. But no, this kind of racist criminal damage, oh, they can get that. They can get that bloody quickly. But the thing I wanted to talk about is what he had said here to the little girl. It's like, this is for the country, for your future. Because as much of a bunch of prats as these guys have been, again, don't vandalise things. Just put the England flag up. You know, painting on a roundabout is not damaging someone's property. But also, you know, put the England flag up. That's actually a really wholesome way of protesting. But what these geezers had said here, I think, is the important bit, right? Because it is for the country and for the future. That is genuinely what people feel that they are losing. They think that if mass immigration continues, then England will be destroyed. And that's true. That is what underpins all of this. And so these are the battle lines. Are you in favour of England existing and having a future? Or do you vote for the Liberal Democrats, Labour Party or Green Party? These are your options. Better get some soup chats.
They sounded like Essex boys as well.
Yeah, they were Essex boys.
That's where they.
I think it was.
Do you know where it was? Out of interest.
Yeah, it did say. I think it was Basildon.
All right.
Basildon Council.
Basildon,
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Racism has no place in Basildon, says Labour leader Kevin Callaghan.
Samson sent me a message saying this video was confirmed fake. Which one is that? Is that the one of the guy confronting the guy with the flag? I can't hear you.
It did sound like the Destiny dude was acting.
Right, so the front door one was fake. Sorry, it's hard to know, right? But even the fact that it was fake, it still summarises basically the interactions that are going back and forth between the groups.
Sometimes when things are fake or parody, it actually still speaks volumes about the thing that it could be believable.
Yeah, you could describe it as an artist's impression of the situation. So Daniel asks, will Nigel Arar Rupert back in the party now? No, even though Nigel has not only reversed his entire position on mass deportations, he's come to exactly Rupert Lowe's position. I'm going to skip over the ones that are kind of not relevant, sorry. But awesome to watch this again live on YouTube. Good luck, gents, getting your country back. Much respect from Upper Michigan. The Engage View on Rumble says, in Bose, Britain, those who feel that displays of the nation are beyond the pale will be told to either get the hell over it or get on an outbound plane never to return. Makes sense.
Where's all of the Bose, Britain stuff come from?
I said it on Twitter a few times.
Okay. I thought that was it.
I just said in Bose, Britain, XYZ.
I've been enjoying the edits of your face onto things. It's great.
People seem to have liked it.
Bo, what happened to Nate's H-cast?
Oh, well, he still does his channel and everything, but yeah, the live stuff, he just decided he didn't want to do it much anymore. I don't really want to speak for him, but...
Oh, right. Well, I guess tweet at him and find out.
Matt
says, when did England stop being patriotic? Was it joining the EU, or did they snuff this out when the Pakistanis were brought over in the 1960s to work in textiles? No, it was definitely in the sort of 2000s, it's the Blair era of just trying to wind out the idea of national sentiment, because they wanted to become global Britain. It's still quite patriotic, even like in the 80s and 90s, frankly, as I recall. Right, let's carry on. Oh, no, wait, Bo, sorry.
Right. Cheers. You got my links there, Samson?
I need that mouse.
Oh, okay.
Bo's already got one. Thank you.
Samson, can you put up my set of links? Oh, no, you have already done it, sorry. All right, so let's talk about Trump's retribution arc, his Sulla arc.
They deserve this.
Right.
You know, it's like constant investigations for years, and then even when he's out of office, to get the mugshot, it's like, sorry, you know, if you come at the king, you better not miss.
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah. Remember when someone tried to actually blow his head off?
A couple of times, yeah.
More than once, right. So Trump seems to be sort of getting his own back, getting his revenge. And it's interesting, there's a number of sort of points or angles to talk about. One, is that really what's happening, or is it actually just real justice beginning to be served? Or is it Trump actually, it's just like a personal retribution thing?
It can be both.
I was going to say, but what if it's both?
Well, that was sort of my...
What if these are the one and the same?
Yeah, it could be both. It could well be both. There is sort of a personal, settling personal scores, but also it's just and right.
Yeah.
At the same time, to be doing that.
Yeah.
So it seems that it's being ramped up in the quite recently, in the last few days, or last week, perhaps. Things have really ramped up on that side of things. So the first one to talk about is John Bolton. On Friday, I believe it was, his house and office were raided by the FBI.
Ooh, what for?
Well, it's not entirely clear at this stage, but they're saying it's for potentially...
Let's get that guy.
Potentially... sensitive information.
Really, like when they raided Mar-a-Lago for a bunch of irrelevant documents, even though they didn't raid Joe Biden's house for exactly the same thing. Interesting.
Yeah. And we'll actually see, it could well be a bit complicated, because the FBI haven't come out and said exactly what they did or didn't find in that raid, and exactly, because he hasn't been charged, that's an important thing to say. Bolton himself hasn't been charged with anything criminal yet at this stage. So it's still very early on in the process. But... it's great because, you know, what goes around comes around. Bolton was gloating, really, when Mar-a-Lago got raided.
He did.
And so just quick thing to say, if anyone doesn't know, because I saw one or two people on Twitter say, wait, who's John Bolton? So if you're young or you're not American, you may well not know. But so the guy's been around for ages. He's the classic old school swamp monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's been around since the Reagan years. He's been relatively important since the original George Bush years. All during the George W. Bush years, he was very important. He was ambassador to the UN. He was sort of, and even when Trump got in his first Trump's first term, he had him as a sort of foreign policy advisor.
Massive mistake on Trump's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the appointments in Trump's first term where I thought, ooh, like I thought you said you were going to drain the swamp.
Yeah. What's he doing with him?
John Bolton's like an ultimate swamp monster.
Now like, he's getting raided.
Why have you? But they fell out very quickly. I think it was within a year or two they'd fallen out, and Trump had removed him from sort of, you know, the top echelons of government.
But if we on the other side of the Atlantic can realise that, yeah, he's no friend of yours, why are you hiring him? It makes it all the more an egregious mistake that Trump made it in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I can see one of the arguments is that he was new to government. And he wanted like a safe pair of hands, so people here and there that he knew the job inside out. I mean, it's a bit of a weak argument,
but also
it's an argument.
Remember that in 2017, Trump wanted to be a reconciler, right? Yeah, Trump wanted to essentially like right the ship of state and like get them back on the correct path. Turns out that wasn't possible, and you have to actually purge and crush them completely. And Trump learned that the hard way, frankly.
Like the idea that Hillary should be put in prison, lock her up and all that, and then almost literally on day one, it was like, no, I'm not going to.
Exactly. He was trying to be collegial about it, frankly.
Yeah.
Which he shouldn't. He shouldn't.
So in the end, I really, really hate John Bolton. I really, really hate him.
A lot of people do.
He's like one of the most egregious, aggressive neocons that ever was.
Yeah.
If he could... If he could choose to have forever wars, he would.
He's one of those eldritch gods of neoconservatism.
Well, calm down. Lindsey Graham's still alive.
That's true. He's got competition.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of Americans, particularly MAGA Americans, hate the forever war thing.
Yeah.
And so he's the classic, he's like the embodiment. It's almost the personification of like the forever war. In fact, I've got a clip of Trump late in a minute saying that when he would walk in a room with foreign leaders and John Bolton come in behind him, like the foreign leaders would literally like stiffen up and be like, oh, he's got John Bolton with him. Like, are we going to get bombed in the next 15 minutes? He's almost that bad. He was
Angel of death. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. I hate it. I really hate it. A lot of Americans hate him as well. Where I say what, in fact, before now I've tweeted about John Bolton and you hear it for a lot of Americans saying, yeah, yeah, we hate him. We hate him. So, and he's, the thing is, on top of everything else, apart from being like an ultimate war hawk, a super hawk, he's also really obnoxious. Like, just personally, he's just really annoying. Yeah. I know that shouldn't really count for a great deal, but it does, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Someone's very, very...
Yeah. It speaks to their characters, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not only is he evil, but he's annoying.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, a double crime.
Yeah.
So... He and Trump fell out, and so the and then they're sort of sniping at each other, like John Bolton saying, and this is years back, this is like in 2020 and before even, so calling him stupid, Bolton calling Trump just like stupid, he's not presidential, he's not worthy of the office, all that sort of thing, and Trump hitting back saying he's a nobody, he's a washed up nobody, all these sorts of things, so they're sniping at each other. And then when Trump, in the Biden years, when Trump was out of power, John Bolton, you know, doing things like he's on the side of the Democrats because he's a Republican, like he's a Reagan.
Loads
George
of them
Bush,
went over to the Dems.
George
though.
W. Bush hardline Republican. However, where he's like on against Trump for a window there, the Democrats sort of adopt him to some degree. Yeah.
There are loads. And, like, I mean, see them with George W. Bush being like, "Oh, this is what a real Republican president's like." So you're our enemies, like, and you're like, "Yeah, George W. Bush was really a good guy." Like, didn't Stephen Colbert try to rehabilitate him and stuff like this? It's like. Like, what you were the primary critic of these people when they were in office. Like, so what the hell are you doing? Anyway, I mean...
Yeah, the Dems will take on board anyone that was is anti-Trump, even if they were, like...
The bombing Iraq people.
Yeah.
Just strikes me as trying to soften the narrative from the MAGA people, isn't it? It's trying to say, listen, you know, maybe you should be more like this, which isn't going to work.
But what it does is it just draws a really nice sharp line between the old guard and the new guard. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, it's a tactical mistake.
Exactly, it's a complete tactical mistake. But anyway,
so he wrote a book called what was it called? The Room Where It Happened, and that was all to do with, you know, the attempt to impeach Trump. They keep calling it the impeachment or the first impeachment. No, he wasn't impeached.
No, he got
they tried to and it failed.
The failed impeachment.
So, yeah, the fake. They should call it that. Anyway, he wrote a book about that. And some have alleged that there was sort of it was rushed through the clearance process and that there were perhaps sensitive things that shouldn't have been released in that. But nonetheless, when that was investigated during the Biden years, Biden just closed it down, just closed down that investigation. And this whole time, John Bolton was still got his like clearance level, so he still got access to like really high level sensitive information. So anyway, when Trump got back in 2024. Trump has decided now, obviously, that he's gonna do something about it. So this raid happens. Now, Trump himself has said, I know nothing about it. I didn't personally order it.
There's a reason I put my guys in charge of the FBI.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to deal with it then.
Yeah. I don't have to tell Pam Bondi or Kash Patel to do these things. They just sort of, they know my mind. Yeah, it's the classic thing, a bit like Nixon. It's like, I never actually ordered anyone specifically to make, like, the plumber unit and go and break into like, a psychiatrist's office or the Democratic
offices. Well, I
assume
that these guys aren't doing anything that's not legal.
It's just my minions knew what I would like or what I wanted. They got it wrong in Nixon's case, but it's a whole different kettle of fish. Anyway, Trump didn't personally order this to happen, and he doesn't want to say, I don't even want to know about it. I'm letting the DOJ and the FBI do their thing. So again, those that are in the know say that it should be in the normal course of events quite soon after a raid if the FBI decide, because they have to go through a judge. It's not just Kash Patel saying raid John Bolton. It's a bit more complicated than that. They have to go through a judge to sign off on it.
Shockingly, there is a legal process.
Right. So usually the FBI will, if they're going to then press charges against John Bolton, i.e. if they do have found any sort of sensitive information he shouldn't have had, then they should bring charges relatively quickly. But we'll see about that. Now, another thing that the FBI is saying is that, because at first, when this news first broke, they were saying, oh, this is to do with that book he wrote and to do with sort of a story we already know about, the one that Biden shut down years ago. But the FBI have come out and said, no, no, it's nothing to do with that. This is entirely new.
Oh.
This is an entirely new thing to do with perhaps even like the Espionage Act. Suggestion that maybe, we don't know yet, so this is conjecture, maybe he's got like a thumbnail drive that he shouldn't have had, or maybe he even emailed members of his own family with sensitive information, which is not allowed. We'll see. Yeah, or even if he was selling, you know, like sensitive information to whoever.
Probably the Chinese.
Whoever. It may be that he's done nothing wrong. We just don't know exactly at this stage. But the point is that the DOJ and the FBI did raid his house. So they wouldn't do that, usually, not always. They usually wouldn't do that unless they think there's something there.
This is a pretty drastic thing to do.
Americans have got this really annoying phrase at the moment. They say, is there anything there? Have you seen them say that?
I haven't seen them.
Ugh, I hate it.
I mean, is there anything there, though?
No, but that's not what they're saying. Okay.
You don't even need the second there.
Yeah.
I know.
The first one worked.
But this is like hold down the fort. It's like forts don't just fly up into the air. You need to hold the fort from the enemy getting into the fort. You don't need to hold it down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We won't continue to criticise our American friends.
Like saying I could care less.
Yeah, no, you couldn't.
When they mean they couldn't care less. Yeah. Anyway, that's an aside. Okay, so FBI. Let's have a look at some of the other links just to show that it is sort of everyone's talking about it at the moment because John Bolton, FBI, Trump took away his clearance a few months ago.
Sensible.
Why should he have it for all time?
Mm. There's no particular reason, is there?
And so one of the angles to talk about is
weaponization of FBI against Patel's gangsters list. Yeah, great.
Also, the next angle to talk about is. Good. This slide into lawfare and counter-lawfare.
Yeah, they started it.
Right.
Oh, no. I'm sewing. This sucks. You get what you deserve. You shouldn't have started it.
It did start under... I've even seen some people at CNN or MSNBC admit that it did start under Biden. Like, it definitely did start under Biden.
How could you deny
it? The worry is, although I'm here for it when it's our side doing it, when it's Trump doing it against someone like John Bolton, Brennan or someone, I'm here for it. But there will be a change of government again. I even saw Pete Buttigieg on stage saying, explicitly saying, when we're back in power, we're going to run this thing till the wheels fall off. Like, when we're back in power, we're going to do this, like, dialed up to 11.
Like you did the first time. So, I'm sorry, you know, this is how republics end, but, like,
well,
you started it. You can't just let them get away with it.
That is the worry.
This is why it spirals out of control.
But it has been going on... Oh, sorry.
No, no, okay, you go.
It has been going on for a long time. It's just that it's much more visible now
It's happening to them. That's what it is.
Even in the time of, say, Bill Clinton, he was getting things brought to him, wasn't he? So it's not necessarily a recent move, and I think it's just that people are more accepting of it existing and therefore more inclined to admit to it than otherwise.
It's a good point, actually. It didn't start under Biden. You can go back to... I mentioned Nixon a minute ago, didn't I? You can go back to Nixon where his political enemies realised, oh, we can get him legally. We can get him in a bind legally here. Let's do it. Let's really go for it. Everything we can do to do... Yeah, Bill Clinton, his political enemies doing everything they possibly can. So it didn't actually start with Biden, but dialed up massively under Biden. And, like, where there's nothing there in the first place. Right, there was... some questions to answer for Nixon. There was some questions to answer for Bill Clinton. Even if it's only like perjury and things, there was something to answer. But for Trump, like truly, pun intended, trumped up charges, right? So
Russiagate, yeah.
Well, I mean,
Russiagate hoax. Yeah. Right.
Nothing came. And then you've got the sort of localized ones, like New York Attorney General trying to liquidate his businesses and things like this. Like, look, we know you guys are going way too far. Mm. And the reaction from just the New York businessman community have been like, oh no, has he done something wrong here? Because we were all doing that. It's like, yeah, it's not. It's purely political.
Letitia James, I'll come to her in a moment.
Oh, sorry.
In the interest
of time, we might need to step it up a bit.
Yeah, though. Sure. I was just going to say one final point then on like the fall of the Republic thing.
Yeah.
That is a bit worrying because... Once that genie's out of the bottle with that, once the seal is broken on that, it's very, very difficult to go backwards.
Very, no, I think Sulla didn't do it quite right, and I think this time Donald Trump can Sulla it properly.
Go full Sulla. Let's actually hear from the Donald himself when he was asked about this. Oh, that's...
No, I don't know about it. I saw it on television this morning. I'm not a fan of John Bolton. He's a real sort of a lowlife. When I hired him, he served a good purpose because, as you know, he was one of the people that forced Bush to do the ridiculous bombings in the Middle East. Bolton, he wants to always kill people, and he's very bad at what he does. But he worked out great for me because every time he doesn't talk, he's like a very quiet person, except on television. If he could say something bad about Trump, he'll always do that. But he really doesn't talk. He's quiet. And I'd walk into a room with him with a foreign country, and the foreign country would give me everything because they said, oh, no, they're going to get blown up because John Bolton is there. He's a not a smart guy, but he could be a very unpatriotic guy. I mean, we're going to find out. I know nothing about it. I just saw it this morning. They did a raid.
Do you expect the DOJ to brief you on this?
Yeah, they'll brief me, probably today sometime.
And the foreign minister...
I don't want to. I tell Pam and I tell the group. I don't want to know about it. Just, you have to do what you have to do. I don't want to know about it. It's not necessary. I could know about it. I could be the one starting it. I'm actually the chief law enforcement officer.
So Trump's
busy.
Okay. So, but it's just sort of the tip of the iceberg because it's not just John Bolton. He's gone after...
Shifty Schiff.
Shifty Schiff, yeah. On sort of mortgage fraud, which is...
If that's how you got to take down a cartel, that's how you take down a cartel. You know what?
Classically, they got Al Capone on just sort of tax evasion, wasn't it? Something like that. You can get people on, if you really want to, you can get them on a technicality.
You can be a gangster, but for goodness sake, you've got to pay your taxes.
It's
about what you can actually prove, though, right? Because if no one's going to testify because Al Capone's running guns and alcohol or whatever it was. But, you know, if you can get him on mortgage fraud, it's not something that, you know, you can't not prove.
It's the classic thing. It's like, I don't actually know if Adam Schiff is guilty of any of these things.
No, of course not.
And both sides, one, like the left is screeching that this is just, this is like a extrajudicial Sulla type tyranny happening before your very eyes. And people on the right saying, no, he is actually guilty of something. He is actually, that's where I am with John Bolton. It's like, I'll wait to see what happens. Watch your space. But no, wait, it's important if he did actually break espionage laws or not. Because if he did, then this is simply justice.
Yeah, but you remember that the Democrats declare themselves to be the good guys, and so they can just do whatever the hell they like.
Right.
Which is genuinely how they think.
Yeah. Yeah, so Schiff is in all sorts of trouble. But also Letitia James. Now, it is like, it does feel... That there's an element of Trump getting his revenge.
Good.
But, like, is it not correct, though?
She was particularly unreasonable in everything that she was doing as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I won't relitigate it, but like, just she deserved it.
Yeah,
she deserves this.
And I think they're trying to get her on similar things.
Good,
sort of mortgage stuff.
I can't believe she's not corrupt.
Not to sound too Machiavellian here, but it's just nice to see someone try to crush their enemies. It seems like the done thing in my idea is that you don't allow your enemies to have advantages over you if you have the choice.
Yeah. There's this idea that it's sort of only banana republics actually go after their political enemies in any real way. No.
It's the same thing. No. It's corruption, isn't it? We've just legalized it.
Well, that's exactly what it is. If you're not going to prosecute these people, it is legalized corruption. So if they've done something wrong, they should be prosecuted.
No, it should be that no one's above the law.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see us going, oh, no, they're prosecuting, you know, whatever. I can't remember who it was now. There was some Trump guy who had done something wrong. He ended up going to jail for like 3 years or something. It wasn't Steve Bannon. It was someone else. It wasn't Bannon. Bannon looked genuinely political. But there was one guy, and you didn't see us defending him. Okay, he'd, like, I don't know, mortgage.
Is it a campaign funds thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Remember something like that.
It's like, okay, if you have him on a legal technicality, then he should have known better and shouldn't have done it. Send him to jail, whatever, I don't care. You know, that's keep your nose clean.
Look how hard they went after Bannon, which wasn't fair.
Yeah,
or exactly. Roger Stone.
Or another one, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'll quickly run through it. And the last few points to say... is that it's even more than that. It's not just Letitia James, Schiff, and Bannon. It's a whole bunch of people. So, like, recently he got Hegseth to remove the head of DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency,
really?
Which is, like, up there with the NSA, the CIA. Yeah. It's a Pentagon guy, like, super, super important in the intelligence services. Trump wasn't happy with him, so just got rid of him, along with the head of Naval Special Warfare Command. Like, again, really important people at the Pentagon. Yeah. Just swapping them out.
Clear out their guys, get your guys in.
And some people saying this is sort of beyond the pale. He's just surrounding himself with yes men, and other people saying, no, it's the right thing to do. We'll see. I mean, history really will be the judge of that. But there's loads more besides. I mean, I mentioned Roger Stone a moment ago. He'd said that this whole thing with John Bolton is the tip of the iceberg. It's the whole rotten edifice. It's just the whole rotten edifice. The only reason they're going after him right now is because of Statue of Limitations.
Yep.
And he's called the seditious conspiracy to engage in treason. It goes all the way to the top. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Susan Rice, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Robert Mueller himself, Andrew Wiseman, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Lindsey Graham, the whole lot of them. And that various people are saying, like Matt Taibbi and Roger Stone, people like that, saying this isn't going to stop. It's going to keep going. They're going to go after, including like people like Brennan.
If I were to create a list, draw up a list of people who are basically the architects of the problem that the United States faces, well, that would sound a lot like that.
Yeah. So it's actually cleaning the swamp a bit, beginning to really, really.
It's a lot of the swamp there.
Yeah, beginning to actually do it.
Like the heads of the Hydra, basically. The rest of it hopefully will drain out on its own accord.
The last thing to say, very, very last thing to say, is that, you know, people like Obama and Biden will never see the inside of a cell. Sure. I mean, Biden will probably be dead soon.
Yeah.
But a lot of the others, though, just with the best will in the world, dude's not long for this world,
is
he?
Yeah, I think so.
But a lot of the other people, right, that they may well be forced to answer for their lies and their crimes. Mm. So we shall see.
Mm. Can I have that mouse back, please?
Yeah.
Sadwin's Raging says $50 on Rumble.
Thank you very much.
For Bo to buy a nice stiff drink and a spiral notebook to use while watching Glenn Beck, The Dangers of Fabian Socialism, October the 6th, 1 to 3. There's the start of your promised history of the Fabians. Do it. There we go.
Would be specific.
I know, right? That's a really, really niche thing that Sadwin's Raging wants you to do.
No, last week I threatened to do something on the Fabians one day.
Oh, you should, yeah.
Lewis Brackpool said he didn't really know anything about them.
I mean, that guy we saw earlier, he's a Fabian in the bio. Amandine says, would you guys be interested in making a premium video exploring different English accents and how they connect to history of social classes? That's an interesting thing.
It's interesting.
Well, I've done something on the English language before in my series Contemplations, two parts.
Hmm.
That's not quite accents, but you'll get the gist of accents once you watch that.
And a super chat from Xavier. G'day, lads. In case you haven't seen already, there's going to be a countrywide pro-Australia protest on the 31st of August. Get ready for some news. Okay, I didn't know that, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, good luck.
Never go full Sulla when you can go full Augustus. Well, the thing is, Sulla is a necessary step in the process of creating the Augustus. So, we're on the road.
Baron is Augustus, isn't he, blatantly?
Well, that's what everyone thinks. that's what everyone's saying, you know. And it kind of, I don't know, it kind of fits in. I think he'd end up being the Caesar, right? He's a bit too old now to be the Augustus. Because people forget that it's generations in the making in this. And so...
The thing is, it's all speed run in the modern day, though, isn't it?
That's true.
What took of generations in the ancient world will be done in just a few years, almost certainly in our world. But
that is true. Anyway, let's carry on.
So what are some things, I think, that could improve the life of ordinary Japanese people? Perhaps a lower mercury content in their diet, because they eat a lot of fish, contains lots of mercury. A better work-life balance. They've got a pretty grueling work culture. Maybe, you know, some even better defences against earthquakes and tsunamis. These all seem to make sense to me.
What about mass immigration from Africa?
Yeah, that seems to be a little bit different. You know what would make Japan better? If they went to the most antithetical continent to their way of life and got as many of them as possible and created, effectively, ghettos to import them en masse. Here's a story.
So for you, what about India and Pakistan? We don't want to forget them.
Well, we'll be getting to them. Right, don't worry.
What about China? There's hundreds of millions of Chinese who would love to live in Japan.
I know, yeah. they're particularly keen to work in areas of, you know, state secrets, defense,
intelligence.
Right. They're just really enthusiastic about those industries. Don't read too much into it.
Remarkable. Remarkable.
But here's the headline. 4 African countries get official hometowns special visa categories in Japan under migration deal. And this is under, of course, the Liberal government, which recently became a minority government because they got a beating in the most recent election, which I believe you covered, didn't you, Bo? Mm. And there's now a rising right-wing party, which was only set up in 2020, called Sensaito, I think it's pronounced. And they're now the third largest in Japan. So they're sort of having this accelerated version of what's happened to other Western countries, but in a much shorter span of time. And of course, the Japanese being a lot more unapologetically in-group, I suppose is the polite way of putting
That's
it.
That's a very polite way of putting it.
Has allowed them to deal with this with a lot more urgency than perhaps elsewhere. And I'm going to read what this actually entails because it's sort of mad. I've never heard of this be approached in this way in all of human history, as far as I'm aware. And I was very surprised. So I'm going to read what it says here. It says, the Japan International Cooperation Agency has assigned Kisarazu, I'm going to butcher these, I'm sorry, I don't speak any Japanese, so if you are watching in Japanese, I'm sorry, in Chiba Prefecture as the hometown for Nigerians, Nagai in Yamagata for Tanzanians, Sanjo in Niigata for Ghanaians, and Imbari in Ahime for the Mozambicans, which is quite honestly a surprising mix of African countries as well, because you'd think if you're going purely off of, say, state of development, you'd want people from Botswana, because they're one of the most advanced African countries. Funnily enough, they didn't adopt African socialism and didn't get rid of their colonial masters. But,
yeah, but the thing is, right, there's how many Botswanans are going to go? Right.
Well, they got the going good. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, for some reason, all of these, like, mass immigration programs never question why all these people are desperate to leave their own countries and why those countries are happy to export tens of thousands of their own people. Because, of course, if they're like, well, we want to live in a rich country, well, why are you exporting your own workforce then? Because they're like, yeah, we're never going to be a rich country. In fact, it would be better if these guys weren't here because then things would be marginally more improved. So you guys take them. And
we're so bad that having more of us is detrimental, basically, is their own admission.
But why else would you be exporting loads of your own population?
Are the countries of origin not worried about brain drain?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're not. No, they're not worried about that.
Weirdly, it doesn't cross their mind, does it? You know,
like, that's the Botswana thing. It's like, I'd still rather not.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Where are you from? Botswana. Oh, great.
I mean, I'm sure Botswana's lovely, but the point is there's a reason they're not doing it and these other countries are, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, anyway, sorry.
But you're right, it is a bit odd to have, like, just one particular town and everyone that comes here from Ghana, you have to go there and live there only.
Well, if you think about it, it's kind of sensible and kind of old-worldy, right? Because, I mean, it used to be, like, think of, like, the Portuguese or Dutch colony?
I was going to say this. Yeah, exactly.
The Assyrians used to do the same thing. The Carthaginians used to do the same thing, where they'd, you know, have a little enclave, and it's like, yeah, you work from there, and that makes it easy to deal with, actually. But it also means they're not at liberty to just explore the country.
Right? I think they've explicitly said the concept is similar to Chinatowns or Little Italy's in the United States.
Right, I wonder if their freedom of movement will be restricted. It's like, we want you to live there. We'd like you to live there. We may even sort of formally make your residence there, but we're going to actually prevent you from travelling somewhere else in Japan if you want to. They're actually going to do that. I don't know, but
they didn't necessarily say so. I've not been able to find out. Each get given a shock collar, perhaps, if they get out of their territory.
Yeah, how could you really prevent them from spreading out?
It doesn't seem to be a possible thing, really, does it? Unless they've got, you know, they've got to report to someone like they're on probation or something, which I don't know whether they would do that. But they explain this because each city, and this is a direct quote, has strategic or historical links to its assigned country. Kisarazu hosted the Nigerian contingent of the COVID-19 delayed 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
That's a historical connection, is it?
So the Olympic team stayed there.
In 2020.
for a little bit.
So import Nigerians.
Yes, that's not a justification, I'm afraid. They're trying to find them. Ngai, Sanjo and Imabari were paired with Tanzania, Ghana and Mozambique to promote cultural and economic ties, but they didn't have historic ties, obviously, because why would they?
How would they?
It's Yatsuke. They're all tied through that black samurai that we're told is definitely real. No. So they also mentioned that they're aiming to strengthen relations with Nigeria, Tanzania, Ghana and Mozambique, which at face value seems like, why are you doing that? What's the deal with that? Why does that matter?
Is the answer GDP?
No.
How is it possibly in Japan's interest to do that?
China is in Africa, and obviously the Japanese and the Chinese, not the biggest fans. The Chinese, obviously, they've got their Belt and Road Initiative. Mm. And I think that this might be an attempt to try and foster some goodwill, because my understanding of Africa, and you might have seen this one before if you're any students of 19th century history, is that lots of developed countries are jockeying to have primary access to the rich resources of Africa. This sounds awfully like colonialism, and it sort of is. We just don't have any troops on the ground.
I'm just reading what it says on the screen there. So, I mean, they're going to look for highly skilled, innovative, talented young Nigerians to go work. Mm-hmm. Hey, for some reason, these people don't want to work in Nigeria. God only knows. But they say Japan is faces an aging population with nearly 30% of its citizens at 65 and above and fewer than 60 working age individuals per 100 retirees. So they are just going for the same population replacement that we are.
Yes,
we've
exactly
got a bunch
that.
Of old people and we need Africans to look after them until they all die. And then we'll just have a country of Africans rather than a country of Japanese people.
And there's also, to accept the premise at face value, which I do not, but just to argue it for the sake of it, it's kicking the can down the road, isn't it? Because if you import people because you don't have enough people, well, the thing about people is they create more people. And if you've got more people, the problem is exactly the same, if not worse in the future.
They'll grow old and require help as well.
Yeah, right. And the people from the third world quite often will, their reproductive rate is even higher. So the generation after that, there's even more old people.
So the mathematics of it don't even work.
It doesn't make any sense.
And
no, it doesn't make any sense.
The
pensions are a pyramid scheme. I mean, we have to admit this.
And of course, as well, you don't have to debate it on its own terms. You can just say, you know, African people are at odds culturally to the Japanese, and I don't think
sure they fit right in. What are you talking about?
You know, a very fastidious, neat and tidy, and polite culture, and people from Africa. I don't see it working.
My wife and eldest daughter went to Japan for 2 weeks, right? And my wife comes back and she's telling me about it, and they're like, yeah, they were really racist against us. Like, they wouldn't sit next to us on the trains and stuff like this because we were white English. I mean, and that's towards the English.
I would sort of be weirdly honoured by that.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying it's not good, but like I'm saying that's just the way that they are, right? So it's just like, okay, right. I'm sure they'll fit right in.
So putting loads of people from Mozambique in the middle of Japan.
How could this go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Because, of course, Mozambique's not known for its, you know, development or its academic heights necessarily. I'm being somewhat euphemistic.
And the thing is, all I'm saying, Japan, is that don't do this. We've done this. And look where we are. We've got, you know, essentially an ethnic insurgency in England at the moment.
I mean, Mozambique, if I'm not mistaken, has an AK-47 on its national flag.
I didn't know that.
I'm just going to double check myself.
I think Angola has, isn't it? It's probably more than one country, actually.
No, Mozambique does. It's a hoe and an AK-47 with a bayonet. But don't worry, guys, there's also a book. And a star.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
I love that it's an AK-47. That's funny.
What are they going to bring to Japanese society? Child soldiers? Like, what is that? What? How is? It's just simply not
to
in
get
the interest.
The,
well, no. What they're going to bring
the Japanese people?
People who look after old people, because the Japanese,
just that.
I mean, that's what they're saying. Obviously, they're going to get all of the same problems with diversity that Europe has had. Why aren't you learning from our mistakes? This is not a solution to the problem.
So there was one thing that I did spot. I had to do a little bit of digging. So an official on the Nigerian side also confirmed it included blue-collar workers. So that means that, you know, in the many 7-Elevens Japan has, for whatever reason, it's going to be Nigerians behind the counter rather than a Japanese person. And that's basically what I see that as an admission of, because
what
kind of blue-collar workers is Japan in need of, really?
You were going to go down the same road that the Europeans are. You're like, okay, well, it's only 50,000. That's a start. That's not much. And it's AA. The first thing is 50,000. And then you'll end up with like a million a year, like we're getting. And then you realize that your politicians have essentially flipped to being their representatives and not your own. And then you'll be like, okay, well, why is this happening? And then we'll just be here going, why did you do this? We told you. We are the bad example you should be warning against.
Well, the thing is, isn't it? It's imposed on them against their will by their Liberal Democrat government, right? Mm-hmm. Your average Sensito voter, your average Japanese person, I can only imagine, isn't gung-ho for this.
Yeah.
Right? It's literally the Lib Dem party, isn't it? It's the governing party.
Well, the number of
They've
videos,
just decided they're going to do this.
The number of videos I've seen of Japanese people on either public transport in lifts actively holding their nose around... people from Africa...
They
don't necessarily smell, it's just precautionary, and they're not afraid to...
They were racist enough against the English. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like,
oh my God.
It's funny, isn't it, how like the liberal project globally is sort of shameless. They'll do it even to a society that's got the strongest of in-group preferences, like Japan. They're trying it even there, or semi-successfully so far. I just hope that, like, at the very next general election, that Sensito fella can win outright, form a government, and reverse all this.
Oh yeah, get it reversed sooner rather than later.
It seems to be on the right trajectory, at least. Like, they stand a much better chance at recovering well from this sort of thing
than
we do, for example. But obviously, we're much further along.
One thing for the Japanese to remember is that the liberals are concerned about systems. They're concerned about making sure your welfare systems are maintained into the future. And they will literally sacrifice the country and nation itself in order to preserve the system. So they don't care if in 100 years' time there are zero Japanese people and 100% Africans or Indians or whoever else, as long as the pensions are being paid, as long as the welfare payments are being paid. And so you've got to question yourselves, are we going to sacrifice our historic inheritance, the nation, for a series of 20th century institutions? That's the question.
Next is that your country will be redefined as a group of institutions rather than by its people. And of course, it's absurd to suggest that a nation isn't made up of its people, because if it has no people, there is no nation.
Precisely.
And to fly your own flag or to express that you've even noticed that you've been replaced will be beyond the pale, even criminal.
Yes. Flying the Japanese flag would be far right.
So complain while you still can.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just Africa that's getting involved. India as well. The Prime Minister has announced a deal with India to import over 50,000 Indians. There are already plenty of Indians in Japan, actually. I've seen lots of shopkeepers in particular, you know.
Yeah.
If only Margaret Thatcher had met Indians before, and she would never have called England a nation of shopkeepers, because it's clearly India. But... they're also going to invest 10 trillion yen. I'm not sure what the conversion is for that, but it sounds like a lot. It's probably not that much.
Like £12.50.
But they're investing in India, and there's this partnership deal, which I think is the beginning of something rather than the end of something. And so expect more people from India, I imagine, as this expands. And of course, this has already been met by this sort of thing. Here's an NGO, of course, written in English, which
just,
is an just interesting
a quick
choice.
One million yen is £5,000.
Okay.
So 10 trillion yen is not that many.
Okay. But they're investing money in India, is the important point. That they have intentions to better their relations, is what that signifies.
Actually, it's quite a lot.
Look at this. I was going to say, the difference between a million and
a
trillion.
Yeah. I'm working out zeros at the moment on the converter. I don't even know how many zeros.
Orders of magnitude. Bigger. Yeah. That's classic, isn't it? Classic. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. There we go. You've got a bunch of women who have decided to betray their own country and people to the foreigners.
And language.
And language. Yeah, and language. That's a great point. It's all in English. Why is that?
Yeah, it's be as one. And things like that. And hang on a minute, that looks a bit interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Working for an NGO, and there's...
yeah, a bit of communism in there as well.
Mm. Well, speaking of which, let's go to the actual Communist Party leader, because they
look at that.
A Communist Party.
Look at that. Bloody hell. We must
there she is.
Sorry, we must prevent the far-right xenophobes from gaining majority in the Diet. Oh, my God. Right, Japan, you have a duty to make sure your country is governed by the far-right from now until the end of time to stop this from happening. Trust us. You will find yourselves... You'll be like, okay, it's like, what, 1%? Who cares? And then, I mean, at the moment, it's 25% of England is non-English. Right, 25%. And we are having a ethnic uprising happening. Right, don't go down the road we've gone down. It's terrible. It's everything that you take for granted about your country, the safety, the cleanliness, the normalcy of it, the low crime, the feeling of belonging, like all of those things that you don't think about, they will disappear like that, right? Do not do this. There's a warning.
Commie Witch says, you must allow us to replace you in your own ancestral homeland.
Or you're a far-right xenophobe. Just accept it and move on and say no.
So I wanted to go through a few of the problems that they're already experiencing just to illustrate that this is wrong-headed. Although, obviously, I've covered this a fair amount, but it's important to include it somewhat. So this one was a particularly egregious one. A Nepalese man was arrested for licking the thigh of a schoolgirl on, I think it was either in a train station or on a train, a young girl. And then when he was asked, he says, I don't understand Japanese. I mean, I don't speak a word of Japanese. It doesn't mean I'm going to do that.
The Nepalese are really socially conservative. Mm-hmm. So there's no way in Nepal you'd get away with that.
No.
Like the brothers and father of the girl would be beating the living daylights out of you, if not gutting you with a kukuri.
Well, I think this is the phenomenon whereby whenever someone goes abroad, they think that there are less rules applied to them.
I think there's also a sort of self-selection bias as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. This is a Nepalese sex criminal who has left Nepal for whatever reason, probably to escape justice, maybe, who knows?
Probably, yeah.
And now he's in Japan and doing what he does.
Mm-hmm. But this is exactly the thing you let in, if you let in people from
other
cultures.
Think about the reason that these people are leaving their own countries. Mm-hmm. They're not the winners from those countries. Mm. It's not like the people doing really well in Nigeria or Botswana or wherever else it was. Like, it's not the people succeeding. It's the losers who are like, yeah, maybe I'll get what I want in a different country.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. This is foreign tourists.
Oh, God, I hate
this sort of thing.
Oh, my God.
I hate
the pram.
Yeah, I know.
Just...
I hate this sort of thing. So this is radicalising Japanese people.
It's radicalising
me.
Yeah.
I hate this sort of thing. Just inconsiderate. You know, it's called main character syndrome in Japan. They say it up there, actually. Like, this is the kind of nonsense you'll import if you get more people like that. And this, I think this might be...
You can't have nice things.
For theft rather than vandalism.
Yeah. Famously high trust society. Mm-hmm. Ruined almost overnight.
They're also having problems with the Vietnamese as well, because in Britain they're sort of green-fingered little fellows, whereas over in Japan they've got a taste for copper wire.
Oh, really?
It's a weird phenomenon whereby it seems like the Vietnamese as a whole, you know, my parents were out there recently on holiday, very polite, very welcoming, quite friendly, and can live in a civilization despite being quite poor. But the people that are leaving Vietnam to go to Japan are then causing all of these problems. They're basically creating criminal gangs.
There's a selection bias.
Yeah.
What the kind of people you get.
You say that. I'm sure there's plenty of Vietnamese people in Vietnam who are perfectly law-abiding and nice people. But I think per capita, the ones that are here are quite criminal. I think per capita, they're up.
They are, yeah. That's right.
Right?
Yeah. They're top 10 nationalities.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're quite often in a nail shop, which is actually laundering money or whatever, stuff like that.
I know in Scotland they're the third most overrepresented.
Yeah.
And that's because they are involved in all of the cannabis grow operations that pop up. Quite often they get sort of enslaved by criminal gangs that are involved in the smuggling.
Unfortunately, for the sake of time, we have to.
Of course. Listen.
They're the Albanians of the Far East. Got it.
So you've also got this. Pakistani immigrants demanding that Japan becomes more Islamic and complaining about celebrating Shinto festivals and how they get the day off. And don't do that. Yeah. Do not accommodate for them. Of course, they've got the same problems that we've had as well, where Pakistani men are targeting schoolgirls. This is exactly the same. And one thing that is worth mentioning is that the Japanese aren't afraid to just drag someone to the police station. So they're going to be a bit more civically minded than perhaps other European or European countries, should I say, which is interesting. He's really going all the way there. And then...
taking care of business.
I suppose, to close it, I want to see more civic mindedness. Don't disintegrate. Don't allow the broken window effect to take effect, if you will, and just give up and allow things to degrade. Be very conscious that you have a civic duty. I think he was carrying them by the underwear.
That's a woman.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, you should be very vigilant in defending your country, defending your way of life, because if you aren't, it will be eroded and destroyed by the liberal government you have, NGOs, and the liberal international order. That's what you're up against. You've got your back up against a wall, but things are already in motion. Things are promising for Japan in ways that they aren't in the rest of the Western world. So I hope it all works out for you. And one final thing I wanted to mention is I've got a YouTube channel. Please check out my new video. I did it about how cats carry a parasite that can change human behavior. If that interests you, check it out.
I've got five bloody cats. Anyway, let's go to the video comments. But also, Jacob sends $50 on YouTube. Thanks a lot, man. Take my money and do great things. Well, we'll do our best. OPH UK says, the first self-inflicted tsunami in Japanese history. What could go wrong? Great point. Mark says, imagine some bureaucrat comes to you and says, I know you've lived in the city for your entire life, and so have all the generations before you, but now it's the home for a group of foreigners. It's like, that's crazy. It's genuinely crazy. Imagine if that was your city. It's just like going along, being normal, and suddenly the government's like, right, so you're taking 50,000, like, Pakistanis or Venezuelans or whoever. Doesn't even matter where they put you. You're like, what? Why? We're setting a colony. We're planting a colony of them in your town. Yeah. So, I didn't want that. Yeah. Why are you doing this to us? Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the first video comment.
Her that she's finished and she's stoned to death. And according to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body, so that her setter does not appear.
That's in Birmingham, apparently.
Mm. Is that common in Birmingham these days?
Looks like he's reading from...
Well, they're preaching in the mosques. Reading from the Quran, probably.
Reading from scripture, yeah. So.
Get the next one.
G'day guys, Menix Games is doing another dev stream at 10:30 PM BST, 6:30 AM Australian time. And we're going to be working on our next game, Going Viral. So come and join us. We're going to be talking a whole lot of stuff, not just games.
Cheers, Coop. I did some writing at the weekend. Still a long way off finishing that novel, but I'm working on it.
He prodded on you to get something done, did he?
Yeah, a number of times. And I appreciate it as well. I've said I'll write a novel. I've tried writing many novels. I have successfully written novels, but there's a project I'm working on, which is going to be the magnum opus.
Cooper is like a man of industry these days.
Yeah, I like it.
He's got the publishing business. He's got the games business now. He's got it all going on.
Rohit says, I consider Japan to be a high-trust society and innovative people thanks to their products, so hopefully the social fabric isn't ruined by. Well, unfortunately... it is genuinely going to be. I mean, England was exactly the same. Like, people, I saw a thing pop up on Facebook today talking about how, like, you know, there's an account from, like, you know, 1900 of this kid who used to walk 6 miles to go fishing in a small lake, and just, you know, every weekend or whatever, he goes fishing the small miles, just walk off on his own when he was like 6 years old.
That's what my dad did in Scotland.
Right? Because it was totally normal, because we lived in a high trust, safe society that was literally like 99% native. So everyone was born and raised with the same expectations and had the same sort of moral framework. Wasn't on the out for children, frankly.
It's the same even for us when we was kids. Yeah, like, by the time I was 11, I was allowed to play out on my bike until dusk.
Yeah. And it'd be fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it would be fine.
But, like, I wouldn't let my 10-year-old just go out forever now. I'd be like, I'm worried.
Even, you know, my age... I was let out at like 6 in the neighbourhood, and then eventually, you know, I was going off into the woods and what have you by the age of about 8, as long as I was with my friends.
Yeah, and people are pointing out that at least Sansito are doing well at 12.5%. It's like, yeah, Honestly, superb. But anyway, let's go to the comments on the website. Daniel Butcher says, had a discussion with someone the other day. She could not understand how it's not hysterical for someone to put up the flag for this and not wave one for the women's football. So, again, it is because they'd siloed it off into the sports ball. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against the women's football. I'm glad they're doing well. You know, it's the only thing we're winning in, frankly. So good for them. And at least they are all English as well. But no, this is political now. Zest King says, liking England only in the context of a sporting event is simply plastic patriotism. 100%. I keep seeing them saying, oh, plastic patriots. It's like, okay, but that's you. You know, you guys only like the country or claim to like the country when it's trying to put everyone back in the box. It's like, sorry, no, I'm not having that. Not having that. Baron von Warhawk says, if the police have time to investigate English flags being graffitied onto crosswalks, they have time to investigate grooming gangs and knife crimes. Well, they don't. That's the thing. They've made their choice. They've decided that they are going to investigate the racists rather than the criminals. Roman Observer says, regarding the painting flags, it's vandalism. Okay, it's rude, but you can't rely on the working class to rise up against the liberal regime and then complain if they don't act like proper Etonians. Sure, but they know that vandalizing people's property is wrong. You know, the working class are actually not barbarians. They are well aware that, you know, vandalizing property is wrong. But also, I think it really just changes the tone of the debate. That's the problem. I'm not, like, you know, condemning these guys or anything. And I thought what they said was important. You know, we're doing this for your future, and that really is what this is about. So being irresponsible just creates friction that doesn't need to exist. That's the problem.
It is somewhat inevitable, though, isn't it, that these sorts yes. of things are going to happen?
It is 100% inevitable that when you have a mass movement that seems to be sweeping the nation, you're going to get a few prats. That's totally true.
Very much so.
Dan says, man injured by glass bottle has the same absurd energy as man killed by bullet from gun, as if the weapon simply sprang to life and went berserk. Yeah, that's exactly it. Omar says, like Carl said, I think the first term Trump believed democracy TM worked as advertised, and with taking charge he could just course correct. I really think that's true. I really think, I mean, and you know, in all the naivety of it, honestly, there's a part of me that kind of likes that Trump was that naive. You know, because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, when I started supporting Trump, I was just like, okay, well, he better not be, you know, like, evil. You know, that I was worried about it. But Trump actually has really come out as, like, seeming to be a good guy, frankly. You know? And that sort of naive optimism is part of the package. And I just like the fact that he's been through the hero's journey now, and now he's crushing his enemies. It's like, okay, well, I tried to be good, and now we're just, you're all screwed.
It is good to see that he's had enough time in the big chair to know what he's doing and be comfortable in his own skin, wielding power.
But he's also been through the rack. Yeah. You know, they've also had him in the dungeons, you know.
And if at any point you're going to really wield your power, it's the beginning of your second term.
Yeah.
So he's doing it. Yeah. He's doing it. It's great.
Malakam says, when filling out your taxes here in the US, there are lines on the tax forms for illicit gains in crypto that you are asked to fill in. Did you make any illegal money this year? Yeah, I did. Well, you got to pay taxes on it. Well, we're not going to go to the cops, but you still got to pay your taxes.
I remember reading a story where they asked, I think it was for a tourist visa or immigration or something, but it was a British person, and there was a question like, are you a terrorist? And they clicked yes and were detained. Like, also, why would you colour that in or check it or whatever?
Well, I mean, at least you know you're dealing with an honest terror. Crispy on YouTube says, Safa, who moved to the UK, keep up the great work. I didn't come around a dinghy. Don't worry, we didn't think you did. My dad's a Brit, and my African's gran still seethes that my mum married a Brit. Fly your flag so my gran seethes. Aw, be nice to your gran. Lars says, isn't Trump more of a Marius than a Sulla?
We've been through this. You could call him a Gracchi, you could call him Marius, you could call him a Sulla, you could call him a Caesar, you could call him... There's a whole number of parallels.
There's no perfect fit for anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and let's be fair, Marius and Sulla both persecuted their political enemies, so... Yeah.
So very quickly, I saw a very good take on Twitter the other day where I said, no, the Gracchi was back in, the years of Taft and Teddy Roosevelt and stuff. So now we're down to, like, we're in, like, the Diocletian years now. Like, Trump, some sort of Vespasian or Diocletian type. Something way... It was interesting. It was a good Radiant. Take. It was a good taste. Yeah. It was a good take. I was interested by it. So you can...
I don't think it's got there, though. I think that the Republican parallel is more apt. I do think.
I think so. I think so.
A guy from Hungary says the Japanese are in this weird Western upside down mode. I haven't been to Benidorm, but I'd assume the Spanish locals would prefer the average English Scouse to the average sub-Saharan.
I don't know.
I don't know, but yeah. You know, the thing is, like, that's a tourist economy that they operate. You know, Japan is not operating a purely tourist economy.
I imagine the average Scouse that goes to Benidorm is probably actually more violent than
quite possibly. Yeah.
Talking from experience, every Scouse I've met has threatened me. It's not even a joke.
Quite possibly. Chance says, I find it very difficult to feel positively about the Trump campaign since the Epstein Files betrayal. Mm-hmm. That case has become an allegiance litmus test, and Trump failed miserably after running on its release. Yeah, it is very, very annoying. I wanted the Epstein Files out as well, but I don't know, what can you do? You know, and the thing is, he keeps doing other things that are good. And that was basically his argument as well. Essentially, I can't get this out because of reasons he can't tell us. But he is doing a bunch of other good stuff. I was like, okay, well, we just got to take the good stuff while we can.
I completely agree with that. I came out and even did a thing about how Trump, the whole Trump train is a bit ruined for me because of that. However, one small thing to say, very recently, I think over the weekend or on Friday or something, Ghislaine Maxwell is supposed to have said that under oath that she never saw Trump actually do anything illegal.
She also said that Epstein certainly wasn't working for Mossad, though. It's but your dad worked for Mossad.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking your word for anything.
You can't trust her as far as you can throw obvious. Her. Of course. Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, so, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, can't take any of them seriously. Mm. Austria becoming a Sharia law country needs more attention than it had. Well, I made a video on it. A little while ago. Kevin, and we'll end on this, there is a legal system to follow, yes, when the Republicans are in power. When the Democrats are in charge, not so much. And when they can't figure it out, they will simply lie their way through it. Well, yes, but at the end of the day, one of the reasons I support the Republicans and not the Democrats is because of these things. You know, the Republicans at least try to do things the right way. And so getting results and doing things the right way, I'm all for it. But also, I mean, Trump's been really great on the immigration issue. I wish we had someone half as good on immigration. Anyway, unfortunately, on that note, we are out of time. So thank you very much for joining us, folks. It's very fun to be back on YouTube. If you want to support us, come over to lowseas.com, £5 a month, help keep the lights on, and go get your copy of Islander magazine before it is gone. See you tomorrow, folks.